going to call to order a regular meeting for the Grover Beach City Council of Monday, April 16, 2012. Would you all please stand with us and have a moment of silence for Dave Angelo, who recently passed. And Dave was a community leader in Oceano and a member of their community services district. And he really served the community very well. Thank you. Tonight's flag salute, as we really enjoy this portion of our meeting, is as we include some youth in our program. And so we'll be led tonight by Kylie Kowalski. She is 8 years old and a third grade student at Grover Heights Elementary School. She loves learning something new every day at school, and her favorite subjects are reading and math. She also really enjoyed having an art teacher coming to Grover Heights. Her favorite teacher is her third grade teacher, Mrs. Wally. Kylie loves living close to the beach for family walks to the Monarch Butterfly Grove, looking for sand dollars and fishing. She also likes to study biology, animal sciences, and musical arts because she enjoys walking with animals. She wants to someday be an animal trainer. Her interests are cartoon drawing, reading, crafts, computer games, and it says Animal Jam. Is that your favorite? Oh, very good. Singing, listening to music, playing with her pets. She's got two dogs and one cat, and spending time outside with her family. She's accompanied this evening by her teacher, and looks like her mom and stepfather. Your stepfather here? So come on up. You can get as close as you'd like to take a picture. Okay? Ready? Whenever you're ready.
Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands.
You did a very nice job. Thank you very much.
Please be seated. Well, that's enough to brighten anyone's day. Thank you again, Kylie. Okay, Donna, when you're ready, roll call.
Here.
Present. Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you, Donna. City Attorney, you want to cover our closed session announcements this evening?
Certainly. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, on Monday, April 2nd, after meeting closed session on one item, existing litigation, Flores and Passant versus Schultz, the City Council reconvened into open session and announced that there were no reportable actions taken.
Very good. Thank you, City Attorney. At this point, we're going to review the order of the agenda as presented to the Council by staff. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda?
I have a request.
Okay.
I would like item number 5 to be voted on separately, please. That's okay. Under the consent agenda.
Very good. When we get to that point, we will do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone?
I will make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, and that means we'll still pull item 5 when we get to consent.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, so then let's move on, and we have, looks like, one item on our ceremonial calendar this evening, and this is a proclamation declaring April 27, 2012 as National Arbor Day. And is Ms. Petka going to receive this proclamation? Okay, so I'll read this and bring it down to you. How's that? This is a proclamation of the City Council of the City of Grover Beach declaring April 27, 2012 as National Arbor Day. Whereas in 1872, J. Sterling Morton proposed to the Nebraska Board of Agriculture that a special day be set aside for planting of trees. And whereas this special day, the last Friday in April called National Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska. And whereas Arbor Day is observed throughout the nation and the world to continue its tree planting practices. And whereas the Grover Beach Parks and Recreation Department will conduct an Arbor Day ceremony and children's special event on Friday, April 27, 2012 at Grover Heights Park from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. to celebrate the importance of trees. Now, therefore, be resolved that the City Council of the City of Grover Beach does hereby officially proclaim April 27, 2012 as National Arbor Day in Grover Beach and urges all citizens to support efforts to care for our trees and woodlands and to support our community forestry program. So, Ms. Petker.
Mayor and council members, good evening. We just wanted to remind you all that Friday, April 27th from 3 to 5 p.m. at Grover Heights Park is going to be the Arbor Day celebration. We are very excited. We're going to be partnering with the Boys and Girls Club with the school, and we are going to have Bright Futures program classes there. The kids are going to participate in several areas, including seed plantings, and we're going to have the fire department there, the Five Cities Fire Authority. They're going to be providing safety tips to children, and also we will have the state parks docents available, and they're going to talk about the importance of eucalyptus trees and the life cycle of butterflies. And we are also going to have the Cal Poly logging team there, and they're going to be explaining to children the tree rings and the cross cut sections that they will be showing the children. So we hope you all can make it, as well as members of the audience, on next Friday, April 27th. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Petker. Okay, let's move on to our public communications this evening. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the interest of the jurisdiction of the council. Please be aware the council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any item that is not on the agenda. So is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communication this evening? Please come forward and state your name and city of residence for the record.
My name is Jacob Barrett. I'm grown up here. I actually went to Grover Heights. The result of the confusion that stems from the fact that we don't know each other. For the sake of a metaphor, you can say that too many people are burning unopened books simply because the cover makes them angry. It is my goal to open these books and find out what's inside. That is why I'm here tonight. My own community seems like a good place to start. Men are fallible. Mistakes are inevitable. Though I have fallen, I can rise again. It is these truths that make life worth living. Without change, without the unknown, without the need to embrace fear, life would become meaningless and lacking adventure. Consciousness would have no better choice than to shut itself off. Presently, a growing number of individuals are seeking this for themselves, a state of mind void of worries and emotion. We need individuals who are willing to accept the pain of defeat and rise above it. We need individuals who aren't afraid to step outside of the box and ask questions. It is individuals like these who make discoveries and solve some of the greatest problems. Every young mind possesses curiosity and passion. Over time, our desires and our passions become more clear. If we do not nurture these passions with knowledge and purity, they will be corrupted with selfishness and confusion. The only cure for such confusion is the enlightenment that true love can provide. For many young people today, habits of ignorant self-destruction are created before passions are fully understood. Sometimes, if we selfishly seek gratification of our senses rather than working hard to achieve health, the results can be fatal. In some cases, we can lose sight of our true passions. This does not mean that we will lose our passion. It means that we will begin to experience failures that diminish our hope and create in us a fiendish desire for escape. Hopelessness does not have to be permanent. God blesses us with shame. Many people can hit rock bottom and be perfectly comfortable there. It is those who feel shame that do not. In this shameful state of rock bottom, great pleasure comes from each step forward. With healthy actions, confidence is gained, and eventually our passions are reawakened and provided with direction. If you are at a place in your life where you feel like you've screwed up and you can't function, don't give up. Stay away from negative critics who don't believe in you. Doubt is contagious. Find constructive criticism, positive encouragement.
Obviously, take advantage of what is afforded you. So thank you so much for being here. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council this evening?
My name is Brad Snook. I'm the chair for our county's chapter of the Surfrider Foundation. Thank you, Jacob, and thank you to the council for hearing my words tonight. Earth Day is coming up this weekend. It's an important time for people to get out in the community. Don't necessarily have to get out in nature, the forest, or the beach. If you do your part around in the community, you can help, and you can help the earth. Your stormwater discussion from a couple weeks ago was paramount to, how we landscape is important. The water that runs off of our property is important. A lot of the water and stormwater runoff in this community with all the cement and impervious surfaces, the water flows straight down to the ocean if it doesn't make it into one of those settling areas. So we want to do the best we can in planning for the future to capture that water, because that water is an opportunity for the future. What you can do to help this weekend. Surfriders event is in Avila Beach. We're teaming with the Sea Life Center. We have our agreement in place with the Sea Life Center to get our water testing equipment going. The water testing equipment has not been installed yet, but I'd like people to start getting in the habit of going to the Sea Life Center to see what's there. And we'd like to use it as kind of a regional hub for marine learning in this area. And we want to start using this type of learning towards planning for a national marine sanctuary in our county for the future. Last Tuesday, I was at the Monterey Bay City Council meeting. It was me speaking in support of a marine sanctuary and about 15 fishermen speaking against the sanctuary. Unfortunately, the council did not vote in support of the sanctuary, instead passing a resolution to oppose it. The fishermen's main concern is that they don't want another regulating body in our county waters. However, the marine sanctuary does not function to regulate fishing. So they're scared. There's some rumors. And if they avoid the rumors, then what's that?
What time is the Earth Day event Saturday?
Well, hold on. The Sea Life Center is actually doing it all day. Okay. So you can come in, and it's like $2 admission for adults. It's really low price to get in and see what they have. And they might be doing it for free, and they have all kinds of activities that they're doing for the kids. I'll be in front of Mr. Ricks right there on the boardwalk or the sidewalk area, probably around noon. Our event starts starts at 2 and ends at 5.
Great.
Is that the cleanup? Is that the beach cleanup?
The beach cleanup will be in the morning.
In the morning. What time?
I think 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Brad. Is there anyone else that would like to address the Council of Public Communication?
I wanted to speak on item number 8. Should I do that now, or?
Actually, you want to hold your comments until we get to that item.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. And that was Liz White for the record.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the Council doing public communications this evening? Okay, seeing that, I'm going to close public communications and I'm going to bring it back to the council. And let's go into our public hearings this evening. And the first one is item number 2 on the agenda, and this is the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center Development Permit Application. Community Development Director Buckingham.
Mayor, members of the council, back on March 5th, the council held a public hearing in the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center. At the meeting, the council did certify the final EIR and approve the amendments to the local coastal program and the zoning map. However, at the time, the council did continue the public hearing on the coastal development permit and the site and architectural plans to tonight's meeting in order to have additional time to consider the project and the associated financing plan for the project. Staff received a letter from the applicant last week requesting the item be continued to the May 21st council meeting in order to complete a financing plan for the project. Therefore, tonight, staff is recommending the council open the public hearing, not receive public testimony, and continue the public hearing to the May 21st council meeting.
Very good. Thank you, Bruce. Any questions of staff? Okay. So then your recommendation is that we open up to the public hearing, but we're not going to take comments, and we're going to then bring it back and then continue this to a date certain.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to open up this to the public and to the CalPERS contracts for service credit for retired employees. And there she is, Human Resources Coordinator Barrett. I was going to call you director. I was going to give you a raise.
Well, thank you.
And a promotion.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the City Council. Human Resources Coordinator Marnie Barrett here this evening to request an amendment to the city's contracts with CalPERS to provide the CalPERS Golden Handshake for retiring employees. To recap the staff report, the PERS Golden Handshake allows the city to purchase 2 additional years of service credit for an employee as a retirement incentive with certain requirements imposed by PERS. It is one of the options of the city's early retirement incentive program, which is available to retiring employees who have 20 years of service with our city. It is also available as a standalone early retirement incentive to employees age 50 and up who have at least 5 years of employment in CalPERS. Does not all have to be with the city. 2 of the requirements of the PERS Golden Handshake are that layoffs must be impending and that the city be able to demonstrate that enough savings will be realized to pay for the benefit through the elimination of the retiring employee's position. In addition, PERS requires that I inform you at a public meeting of the estimated future annual costs for this change in retirement benefits. Please note these are estimated costs. There are 20 employees currently eligible for the PERS Golden Handshake. If all 20 were to retire now, the annual cost to the city starting in fiscal year 14 would be approximately $80,250. However, at this time, only 6 of those 20 employees have expressed interest in possibly taking advantage of either the city's or the PERS Golden Handshake. And for those 6, the annual cost would be approximately $24,500. Again, these are just estimates. Actual costs and savings to the city can't be accurately predicted until we know which, if any, specific employees will ultimately retire through this program. However, we do know that employees who retire under a PERS Golden Handshake are not eligible for unemployment benefits, and that is a definite savings for the city. It is staff's recommendation that the City Council conduct a public hearing and consider testimony, introduce for first reading by title only the proposed ordinance amending the city's agreements with CalPERS for local safety, PERS, that had to be made available at a public meeting, and I will put it in the staff report when I return for the next reading of the ordinance, but let me repeat.
Okay.
We have 20 employees who are eligible through age and length of service for the PERS Golden Handshake. If all 20 of them retired now and their positions were eliminated, the cost to the city for this 2 extra years of service credit would be approximately $80,250. If the 6 of those 20 have expressed interest in possibly taking advantage of either the city's or the PERS Golden Handshake, and if all of those 6 ultimately took advantage of the Golden Handshake, the annual cost would be approximately $24,500. But these are estimates. Okay. We don't know for certain until we know who's retiring and at what salary.
Okay, well.
Does that help?
It does. So the annual cost for how long a period of time are we talking about?
The position has to be eliminated for a minimum of 2 years. Okay. So it might be 2 years, but we will not be looking at this until fiscal year 14 because, as Gayla told me today, or reminded me today, the actuarial costs for fiscal 13 we already know.
So we don't know the savings for the 24,005.
That's absolutely correct. We will not know what, if any, costs or savings there are until we know specifically which employees, if any, actually take advantage of the program.
Mr. You know what? Mayor. The problem I find with this is there should have been some, for examples, like if such and such earning so much money decided to participate in this, what it would cost, you know, and what the savings would be. Because I find it very difficult to approve or to vote on something where there is a lot of information missing.
Okay, City Manager.
The intent of this item was to modify the existing contract so that we would have the opportunity to do that. I can tell you that just based on the six members that have come forward, the $24,000 would represent a considerable savings to the city, or the amount we would be saving over and above the $24,000 would be a considerable amount of savings to the city.
It, which would be, if you're talking about considerable amount, you must have some kind of an
example. The cost is the salary.
Okay. Thank you.
And as I understand it, once you identify, or so six have shown interest,
correct.
And once someone has confirmed that, in fact, they would like to go forward, we will have a much more detailed report on
that's
that.
That's absolutely correct, Mr. Mayor. And if an employee with 20 years of service elects the city's Golden Handshake or Early Retirement Incentive Program, he or she may or may not choose the CalPERS Golden Handshake as one of the options that they identify, subject to the city manager's approval. This option is available to employees who are vested, meaning they have 5 years of employment in a PERS agency and they are at least 50 years of age. But as you said, this time we do not know who might or might not go forward.
Okay, very good. Did you have any more questions?
No, that was good.
Okay, Councilmember Bright.
I'm fine, thank you. I heard what I needed to hear.
Okay. Very good. If there's no other questions up here, let me open this up to the public. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this item before the council? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close it to the public, bring it back to the council. And you guys want to have some more discussion, or is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Well, I'll make a motion. Let's see. We've introduced it for a first reading by title only. Okay, so we need to, I would move that we schedule a second reading and adoption at a regular city council meeting during regular business, not less than 20 days following this meeting. Adopt CalPERS resolution of intention to approve an amendment to contract.
Honorable Mayor and council members, it would be my recommendation that this is broken up into two different motions. First one pertaining to the ordinance, and the motion would be the introduction and scheduling of the second reading of the ordinance.
Okay.
And then after the council acts on that, I would recommend that a second motion is considered with regard to the resolution, which is a separate document.
So okay. Then we would do 2 and 3 in the recommended action. So introduced by first reading and schedule a second reading and adoption at a regular city council meeting. Correct?
Okay. That's correct.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Is there any additional discussion on the motion? And I think we can do this with a voice vote, or is
roll call, please.
You roll call? Very good. Roll call.
Thank you,
Ms. Barrett. Nice job. Let's move on to our consent agenda. Consent agenda is when we typically take routine items, are considered as a group. Recommendations for each item are noted in the parentheses on the agenda. Members of the audience may speak to any item listed on consent, and I believe city council or staff members have an option to pull any item from consent. Do any member of the public like to address any item under consent? Okay, seeing none. And then I know that Councilmember Molnar would like to pull item number 5. I would actually like to pull item number 6. So with that, we still have 2 items. Item number 4, which is minutes for the city council meeting of Monday, March 19, 2012, and then number 7, which is a a resolution to authorize participation in the Healthy Eating, Active Living Cities campaign. So someone might make a motion on the remaining items on consent.
I'll make that motion that we accept items 4 and number 7.
Okay.
I'll second that.
There's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And traditionally what we do is when we pull an item from consent, we actually put it toward the end of the agenda. But I'm going to, looking at the items that we have on the regular business, those will probably be some very long items. So let's take these items now. And so let's do item number 5. So City Manager or Community Development Director Buckingham. And this item is a second reading and adoption of an ordinance amending the zoning map for a portion of the Ramona Specific Plan area.
Real briefly, at the last meeting, the council took action on 3 items, the amendment to the Ramona Specific Plan and the general plan to amend 5 lots near the corner of Brighton and 9th. The zoning map amendment was the last action, and tonight is the second reading by the council for that action.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Buckingham. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Monar, you have.
Actually, I just wanted to pull because I did not want to continue to consent to this.
Absolutely. Okay. So if there are no questions of staff, this item has been pulled. So let me see if there's anyone from the public that would like to address the item before the council this evening. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close and bring it back to the council.
No.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. And then on item number 6.
Six.
Can't read my own writing.
Did we?
This is a resolution to authorize application for grant funds from the California Bike Transportation Account. Parks and Recreation Director Petker.
That's all right.
A staff report, or did you have specific questions?
I do, so I'll spare you a staff report. In reading the staff report, you know me, I'm always struck by you were requesting to file an application for an $80,000 grant. When I think previously we had talked about $300,000 being an amount that would get us a long way to making this a bicycle-friendly community. So I was just curious why staff chose to go for $80,000 rather than applying for a larger amount. And in my role with the SLOCOG, I've heard that the bicycle lane in Canada State actually has more money this year than it had in any of the prior 2 or 3 years because people had not delivered on projects. So,
Mr. Okay. Mayor, if I could answer that, those two questions.
Certainly.
The reason that staff recommended at the $80,000 level, there were really two reasons. One, you are correct, they have authorized a good deal more money. However, last year, out of the total amount that they had available, which was something like $7 million, oh.
11.
They ended up funding one project within the SLO County area. And so we made the decision thinking that perhaps a smaller project might be more competitive. The other was that had to do with actual cash flow. If this project is funded, it's uncertain as to when the dollars award would actually come forward. Our experience has been that it's at least 2 months. $300,000 would all have to be paid on a reimbursement basis. We already have the Grand Avenue, West Grand Avenue Enhancement Phase 2 project coming forward at somewhere between $800,000 and $900,000.
Actually, I did contact SLOCOG and they said that there is not an opportunity through SLOCOG to underwrite that amount. However, I did not contact the league yet, but I can
okay.
do that.
Okay. So my suggestion would be to contact the League of California Cities, because I know that they have come up with a couple of programs that could assist with financing of public improvement projects. And I don't know if it's something that might work, but it's certainly in this day and age we need to be creative and look at these things. So I understand the logic behind applying for $80,000. I'll accept the one with respect to cash flow more so than the competitive one, because clearly the way these things go, they go in cycles. And so since no one's from San Luis County or one project got funded last year, I imagine they'd be looking at us and saying we're overdue. But, you know, I'm just one voter on this council. Those are my concerns.
Can you explain that then a little better, what you're saying?
With respect to?
The cash flow and.
Yeah, so what Bob is saying is that the state bike lane account, as well as one of the other grants that we're using for some of the projects on Grand Avenue, are all done on a reimbursement basis, meaning city has to front the money and then wait to get reimbursed from the state. And I think staff is concerned about is if we've got multiple projects going on at the same time, it could cause a cash flow problem. I didn't, and I'm being on my best behavior tonight because I have never seen two city projects going at the same time. I'm still waiting for Grand Avenue to get moving. That's what they're saying, basically.
So how much more could be done if we had asked for more than $80,000?
Well, last year we requested $300,000 to complete all of our priorities, and we were denied. So up to $300,000 would be.
So you weren't denied. The project was not selected.
Yes.
So what are you leaving out of this particular? Let's say you got the $80,000. What are you leaving out of this year that you would like to have had done last year?
Well, we actually have a priority list that the council approved last year during the application process, and we have all of our priorities set out in 1, 2, and 3 based on our class bike lane classes and our legends and our striping and renewed striping and signage, and the council gave us authority to apply.
You say three arterials. Which streets were you thinking of?
We're talking about renewing striping on segments of Oak Park, El Camino, Atlantic, and as you could see, can you get in focus? The renewing stripings are in the orange. So if you look at Oak Park on from, say, Highway 1 to Atlantic, that needs renewed striping and signage. We have El Camino area. Right here.
Okay.
All the orange areas are the renewing that we need. That's Oak Park to Farrell. And we also have, we need signs that say bike lanes. We need legends that are actually paved on the streets that say share the road or a bike symbol. We need the renewed striping of existing lanes. And we also need to put signage on our class 3 lanes that we've never had legends. For example, on North 12th Street from El Camino all the way up, that's a class 3 that we would like to have legend to share the road. So it's very narrow for children right here. Mm-hmm. So up to $80,000, we would be able to complete those projects. As well as bike racks throughout the city and all of our parks and employment center areas.
Any other questions, staff? Okay, let me open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address this item before the council? Seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council. And some discussion, or someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Well, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I recommend that my motion is that we adopt the resolution authorizing staff to apply for an $80,000 grant from the California Bicycle Transportation account for striping, signage, and bike racks throughout the city.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Just a question. We can always go back like next year if they have more money available to try again for additional funds.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we are going to move into our regular business tonight. This is item number 8, and this is a discussion regarding charter city concept. City Manager Peralt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Charter cities has been an item that the council has expressed an interest in perhaps pursuing, and it was actually called out as a part of my fiscal strategy for dealing with the new budget that we take a look at perhaps pursuing converting to a charter city. A little bit about background. There are two forms of government that are essentially municipalities are formed under two forms of government, are two forms of government under state law. The first is a general law city, and the vast majority of cities are actually organized as general law cities, and that essentially says that the city is allowed to conduct municipal affairs as long as it's in accordance with state law. Charter city is a bit different. What the charter city does is it allows the city to have greater control over what is considered municipal affairs. And I'll explain a little bit more about that as we go through this. As I mentioned, and you'll see on the next slide, the municipal affairs is not clearly defined in the law. And really, throughout the years, it's been done, the definition has actually been on a case-by-case basis. But to provide you with some examples of what municipal affairs are, include the local initiative and referendum procedures, council member employee compensation, city contracting procedures, including the exemption from prevailing wage, and many local land use and zoning issues. There are more of what is called municipal affairs, and those are outlined more specifically in your staff report. In terms of what it remains a statewide affair, and a statewide affair is something that the state has absolute jurisdiction over, even with charter cities. This would include things like vehicle regulations, licensing of trades and professions, the Brown Act, open meeting laws, school systems, eminent domain procedures, municipal affairs that it wishes to cover, while leaving the remainder of the areas to be to state oversight. How a charter is adopted, there are really two procedures. One is a rather lengthy procedure, and that is done by the appointment of a 15-member commission. Essentially, it can take several months, and once that commission arrives at what that charter should look like, then it is placed in front of the provided to the city clerk, and the clerk can set it for election. The other process is the city council actually designs the charter itself, and over a period of 90 days, which I'll discuss shortly with you in terms of the public hearing process that you need to go through. And at the end of that approximate 90-day period, then the charter is submitted to the voters. It becomes a ballot issue, and voters ultimately decide whether or not they want to convert to a charter city. How is the charter amended? Well, it's basically the same process as is used to put a charter in place. This can make it a little bit cumbersome because anytime you want to make a change, you have to go back and complete that entire process. Next. What are some of the advantages? Again, there's a greater control over purely local affairs. And as you've seen in the staff report, I've attached several different copies of charters. And as you'll note, some of them are written very simply and identify areas that are more directed to cost-saving measures, provides you greater control over public works contracting procedures. And one of the major cost issues is being able to avoid prevailing wage or exempt the city from having to pay prevailing wages with public projects that are local and are funded through local means. This means that, and you should be aware that all grant-related projects and network would also qualify. And these are some other advantages that I wanted to list for you if the council did in fact want to develop its own election and initiative procedures. It's certainly able to do so. And another advantage is you're able to avoid cumbersome bidding procedures. Bidding procedures right now are outlined in the state, again, you have the ability to tailor make those so they're more responsive to local needs. In terms of what are some of the disadvantages, time, effort, and funding to put a charter in place is definitely a disadvantage. It requires extensive public noticing and a public hearing process. One of the things I wanted to point out, that public hearing process essentially requires two public hearings to consider the charter following an initial 21-day notice period, and then there's 30 days between the first public hearing and the second public hearing, and then the council can only deliberate on the proposed charter after a 21-day waiting period, in essence, following the second public hearing. So that's why I've said that it's a long process to put a charter in place. It takes approximately 90 days. The costs for putting a charter in place would be between $15,000 and $20,000. That would include an estimated cost of between $5,000 and $7,000 to do the initial drafting and public hearing notices, and then the actual cost of the election would be somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000 as well. Obviously, what the council has to weigh is that there is an expenditure and a great deal of effort that has to go in, and obviously you're uncertain as to the favorable result. And there still is, as I've mentioned, municipal affairs, something that is not clearly called out in the law, so there can be changes in the law with the Supreme Court that might change how and what a municipal affair is actually defined as. I want a possibility that we may get a decision from the Supreme Court sometime before the council would be acting to actually place the charter city on the ballot. The proposed meeting schedule, I've included a couple of alternative meeting schedules here for you to consider. The reason that I needed to point this out, obviously if we were to make the ballot for November and have the work done in time for submission to the county clerk's office by July 25th, you would need to conduct a couple of special meetings. These public hearings could not all be held during our regular meeting session and still be able to make the ballot in November. Ultimately, this is a major step. Several cities locally have already taken this step. They include Santa Maria did took the step in 2000. The city of Solvang has been a charter city now for, I believe, the last 4 or 5 years. The other item, the reason that I wanted to bring this forward and thought it important was not only because of the cost ramifications. Obviously, there could be a real benefit in during a time when things are extremely difficult. It is, we need to think about creative ways and things that we can do to legitimately do our job better. But for me, the other important part of this is that the way we're set up right now as a general law city, we, for all intents and purposes, are a subdivision of the state. And realistically, our ability to conduct local affairs is pretty well limited to what the state will, in fact, allow us to do. At least with the charter concept, it allows us a greater form of independence and at least a little bit of a separation between ourselves and the state. And as I've said, in a time when we've seen the recent impacts of state legislation and how it tends, you choose to proceed with this at this point or at a later date, the problem is you would be precluded from bringing it to a another ballot for another 2 years. And so that's why timing is a bit of a factor. That concludes my staff report. I'm certainly available to answer questions. I'm sure the city attorney is as well.
Thank you, staff. Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. Thank you. That was an excellent report. I didn't know a whole lot about charter city concepts whatsoever, and this was very, very helpful in explaining that to me. Having said that, however, I do have some questions. In particular, under the mandates limited, and this is out of the charter of the city of Santa Maria, and I think all the others that I read as well. It's on page 3 of attachment 3. And I imagine it's somewhere else in here, too, in the narrative. But in either case, am I reading this correctly where it says, unless and until funds sufficient for the performance of such function are provided by said mandatory authority, that we aren't required to perform a function that's mandated by any other level of government?
I've seen this. And essentially, you'll find this language actually occurring in this, as well as I believe the city of Auburn referenced the same. Mm-hmm. And, perhaps the city attorney can elaborate, but I think this is more of a policy statement.
Okay.
On behalf of the city.
Well, it is a rule that a charter adopts for the city. Having that rule in place does not shield the city from, for example, RWQCB fines for not complying with the stormwater program that is mandated by the state without any funding mechanism. I think it provides the city with a place to point to say, look, you know, our rules say that we don't have to do it. State will say it's a matter of a statewide concern, and you do have to do it.
Okay. I see. So that really is the determining factor. If it's statewide or if it's whatever that other qualification is, then we probably would have to be subjected to an unfunded mandate.
Anything that, two separate issues that are kind of combined in this, it's up to them whether a charter city, certainly that has that rule in it, arguably has a stronger argument to bring to the court if it decides to bring an action in that regard.
All right, I understand. Okay, so that's not the panacea I thought it might be. Okay, thank you. Then some other kind of unrelated questions. I'm wondering, has the City of River Beach elected to be subject to the Uniform Construction Accounting Procedures?
We have not.
Might want to think about doing that because it would make our bidding procedures a lot less cumbersome. You wouldn't have to bid until now. It's like $175,000. So you might want to look at that. And all it takes is a resolution, if I remember correctly, because I did that for the district. Okay. Without the prevailing wage piece of this advantage to being a charter city, is it a worthy endeavor, do you think?
Well, obviously, the prevailing wage is the largest single item because it's a cost factor. The other is just depending on what the council chooses to do with the charter. And in some ways, you know, you have to measure that in your own mind. It is realistically, does drafting a charter at least say back to the state from a policy point of view that we're independent and there is a bit of separation that needs to be protected.
Okay. So then I guess my last question. So the $15,000 to $17,000 that it would cost for us to develop a charter and do the public hearing process and so on, do you think that there would be savings to compensate those costs? I mean, I'm talking like in the near future.
It would depend, again, on the prevailing wage. Uh-huh. Solution. If this were to go forward, you would most likely, and prevailing wage was to stay intact, you would probably be saving somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20% mm-hmm. on each locally funded project. Examples of those would be any.
I guess, I think I did, but now I can't think of what it was. So thank you. My one last question. So then we have, as it looks to me, about one quarter of the cities in California are charter cities?
That's roughly correct. 120, I believe, is okay. What the count is now, and there are 480 cities roughly.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Councilmember Peterson, you've been awfully quiet tonight.
I have a couple of questions. You mentioned that you mentioned a two-year period before we could move forward again if we don't go forward this time. Is that because if you put it on the ballot one time, you have to wait 2 years before you? I don't understand that.
And the city attorney can probably elaborate, but you're only allowed to move forward when there's a general election.
Oh, so it's every 4 years or every
2 years.
Okay.
You can't do it under a special election. Many other municipal initiatives, if the council so choose, they could call for a special election, depending on what that issue is, but a charter is not one of those.
And do we have any idea how many other cities may be considering this? If 25% of the cities are currently charter cities, given the current issues we have with the state, are any idea how many other cities may be making the same decision right now?
I know that the neighboring city of Arroyo Grande will be having a similar discussion later this month. I'm not aware. I know that the league has provided a lot more information relative to this topic, and the reason for that is other cities are pursuing it for the same reason. I don't have the actual number.
And locally, the cities which are doing it, San Luis Obispo, Solvang, do we know any others?
Well, San Luis was organized mm-hmm. as a charter city a long time ago. But locally, there's Santa Maria. They converted to a charter city in 2000. And Solvang was probably the most recent, and I believe that was either 2004 or 2006.
Do we have any feedback from them on how it's gone for them?
Santa Maria and Solvang both indicate that it's been positive for them.
Okay. And then one final question. Is there any indication on the court case before the Supreme Court, if it did not go the way we'd like it to go, any indication that there might be an appeal of that?
The case pends before the California.
Thank you.
Councilmember Monar.
On the court cases right now, who is suing who?
Unions, and I believe it was actually Carpenters Union, sued the city of Vista on a project that one day, city of Vista is a charter city, on a project that one they claimed should have been bid and performed with a prevailing wage, and two, they claim was a matter of statewide concern because it pertained to distribution, I believe, of water or sewer wider than the city itself. City prevailed in trial court. They prevailed in the Court of Appeals, and the unions took that up to the Supreme Court, and the issue was heard last Monday.
Okay, but their complaint was it was more than citywide. It was beyond the city.
Their main complaint was the charter city should not be exempt from prevailing wage because prevailing wage in and of itself is a matter of statewide concern.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. I have a question then. In the charter, can things be put in there such as when we had the election where people voted about, I believe it was the half cent that was supposed to go, that we promised to go to the street repair, is that correct? We had that.
We had an election for a sales tax, that's correct.
Okay. Can such a thing be put in the charter saying that if there was such an election where the money was supposed to go to such a particular item, such as we were saying, because I voted for it, that it would be used for street repairs, that if such a thing did happen, that it would have to be used only for street repairs and could not be put into the general fund for other problems?
The law already exists in state law that says that if the money is raised for a specific purpose as designated, it becomes a special election, and then that election requires 2/3 majority vote. If the money is raised for a general fund, as was the sales tax in this instance, it requires 50% plus one vote. So that already is in state law. Charter cities have the ability to institute their own election process so long as it doesn't, again, violate the issues that are of statewide concern.
Okay, so then what you're saying is because that particular item was generally include unions, so that we could have a different type of a retirement system set up, such as some places are trying to do with 401s, with employee participation, so it doesn't cost the city quite so much money, or where you can put caps on health insurance or medical insurance, saying we're only going to pay X amount. Does it include those type of things?
That particular provision deals with, one, compensation of city council members, which is set under state law at certain levels depending on the number of citizens that are in the city. A charter city can set their own compensation for council members, irrespective of what the limits are in the state law. With regard to employees, a charter city can certainly set programs and compensation at levels that it wishes or the council desires or the city manager desires. I do not believe under charter city that you can exempt yourself from having employees participate through bargaining units.
That isn't listed in the items here that says that you have to, or you just give only a few examples of statewide affairs.
Right.
That isn't one of them. Okay. Then actually I see no purpose in becoming a charter city unless you can have some kind of controls that are really going to benefit the city. I mean, if there's a prevailing wage, so that if you want to have street repairs, you can go with what, non-union? That would be the only benefit then? Is there any other benefit? For example, when the state reversed redevelopment, if you'd been a charter city, you still would have been axed out of that too, right?
That's correct.
No. Okay,
AB 26 is applicable to charter cities.
Okay, so then what is the only real big benefit is the prevailing wage?
That is, as I've mentioned, the big cost benefit. That's correct.
Okay, but based upon projects we've done in the past, this does not include work we've done on West Grand Avenue, correct? Because we were getting money from what, state, right?
Grant funds, that's correct. But we have done a number of local street projects throughout the year that were funded primarily through with city funds and including the sales tax. And those would then be that we're going to have to bring on board in order to deal with primarily with our infrastructure. And this will just give us a tool, provided the Supreme Court rules in favor of VISTA. It will provide us a tool that will benefit the city over a very, very long term.
Okay. And the cost to complete this, it said, what, $10,000 to $12,000? Is that what it was?
Actually, it's $15,000 to $17,000, $15,000 to $20,000.
And what
roughly.
Does that pay for?
That pays for public hearing costs associated with the noticing provisions. It pays for staff time to actually do the drafting of the charter, and it would pay for actually putting the ballot measure, paying the county costs for putting the ballot measure on in November.
Okay. And the drafting of this charter, this is something we would see at different times as it's being suggested, because I've seen many things come through here that a lot of us haven't seen until the last minute, and I many times that's not appreciated.
The first draft would appear at the first public hearing. Then the council will have an opportunity to discuss the draft during that first public hearing. Then it would again be brought back at the second public hearing, and then it would be brought back at a third time during the actual council deliberation. The other point that I want to make, and you raise a good point, is that, you know, should the council wish to make significant changes to the charter, it is likely that it would delay the process beyond what we could actually bring it to the ballot.
So we would be using these cities as samples?
That's only as
I mean, is
the
there like, you know, like a sample out there that everybody kind of starts with and then they...
I think if the council is to move forward and consider this or wishes to consider this, that the kind of a pivotal point is the conceptual issue of, does the council wish to have a charter that's more encompassing? One of the cities I serve has a fairly extensive charter with a lot of detail in it. It sets out more detailed rules, basically two ways of looking at the issue, and that would be a discussion that I would suggest the council has if it's the desire to move forward. Based on that discussion, at least initially, staff can bring you two different examples, a very simple charter and one that's a little bit more encompassing, and then you can choose your direction once you have an opportunity to review it and discuss it and perhaps ask any questions or issues that each one of those raises.
Okay. And these dates that you've got here proposed, I already gave in notice that I'm going to be gone from the 20th till the 25th of June. I put that in months ago. I let the city clerk know that. I would really like to be here for everything. So are these dates set in stone here?
Let me answer that. They're just suggested dates, and the council is going to have to discuss those, and if the council majority chooses to go forward, then we'll discuss those dates. And then at that time, we can figure out what the dates are that we want to try and accommodate. So,
okay.
All basically.
Right. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
I have another question.
Okay, Councilmember Bright.
Thank you. I was just thinking when Councilmember Molnar was talking, I'm wondering about if we were to go forward with a long-term funding strategy for the rehabilitation of our streets, should the prevailing wage piece of this stay intact, would that qualify for exemption from prevailing wage?
As long as the funding source
all local.
Was local.
Okay.
For instance, in response to your question, let's say you decided that the council as a whole decided that at some point they wanted to do something like a local bond issue,
right,
to support
exactly
the reconstruct or the street strategy,
mm-hmm,
then because those are locally raised dollars, then the exemption would apply.
Okay, that could be huge. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, I have two questions, and then we'll open this up to the public. Should the council choose to go forward with putting an item on the November ballot for Charter City and the fine voters in the city of Grover Beach choose to vote for the charter, when would it go into effect?
I believe upon certification of the vote of the election results.
So
the paperwork is due to the county.
Very good. I have comments, and I'm going to hold off on those until we hear from the community. So at this point, I'm going to open this up to the public and see if anyone would like to address the item before this council. I do have one speaker request form, and that's from Liz White.
Good evening, Liz White, North Grover Beach. Concerning the placing the charter city concept on a ballot to a vote of Grover Beach citizens, I would like to give a definition of what a charter city is. Quote, a charter city is a new type of special reform zone. It extends the concept of a special economic zone by increasing its size and expanding the scope of its reforms. It must be large enough to accommodate a city with millions of workers and residents. Its reforms must extend to all the rules needed to support exchange in a modern market economy and structure interactions in a well-run city, end quote. Let me emphasize the fact that we have 13,000 residents, mostly a retirement bedroom community, and we do not number in the millions. Additionally, we are not at this time a well-run city. We are in crisis financially and on many other levels. To place us on the ballot would be fiscally inappropriate, not within the guidelines of exactly what a charter city is. And most importantly, we just can't afford it. This process will require a huge amount of work with no viable available resources. For years, your citizens have been coming to you for help and urging you to merely handle taking care of basic city needs, fire, police, infrastructure, and to do so within this city's budget. We have paid thousands upon thousands of dollars for consultants to help the city become a financial success, yet we have seen none of those expenditures amount to cash in the bank for the city. For years, your citizens have been told the city streets would be repaired. Exactly where are we with that, and what is budgeted for street repair this year? And that's a big, huge issue. If we were to have cost savings, are we even going to the place where we can get substantial street repair? We are a landlocked, very small coastal community, yet we are incessantly compared with large cities with huge populations, a strong infrastructure, room for growth, and the potential for large economic gains by bringing in large businesses with a good transportation system solidly in place, and we are unfortunately none of those. On attachment one of the staff report, there are a list of cities that have supposedly gone the route of a charter city. Many people have moved here from these very same large cities with such, which would throw out compliance with many of our long-standing laws that are currently in place, abandonment of adherence of the California Elections Code, and many other general law city requirements that have a checks and balances system solidly in place. Thank you so much for your time.
Is there anyone else that would like to address that before the council? Yes, please come forward.
Hi, I'm Heidi Boatman, a new commissioner on the Park and Recreations Committee, and I hadn't planned on talking, I just came to listen, but when I saw the agenda, I looked up what the charter city was too, and I saw a lot of different definitions. I didn't see yours, but I'm sure that's, you know. But what I'm really confused about, want to get my head around, is it sounds like the most important part of being a charter city is that we won't have to pay prevailing wage on funds that we raise here to work in our city. Does that mean that we use non-union members, or what does that mean? And also, why? Well, okay, let's answer that one first.
No, why don't you go ahead and ask your questions, and then when you're done, we'll answer them.
Well, okay? If there are, there's a lot of road construction that's going on right now. Why would a company want to do work for Grover Beach or any charter city if they were going to pay, get paid less than they would if they were getting paid a higher wage someplace else? I just don't understand that. And is it that simple?
Okay.
That's it.
That's it? Okay. So let me see if there's anyone else that's got questions, and but don't leave. We're going to okay. We're gonna get to those. Well, I mean, you can have a seat. And we'll answer. Great. Thank you, Heidi. Is there anyone else that would like to address that before the council? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the council and city staff. You heard the last two questions was, I think, there is a question regarding right. Hiring union labor.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, council members. Prevailing wage is a wage that is set by state law that needs to be paid to workers that work on public works projects. It is usually a law city, but basically requires almost on a bigger project hiring another contractor to simply overlook whether or not prevailing wage is being properly administered and paid by the contractor doing the work. So the contracts would be smaller in these instances by about 20-30%, generally speaking, because the companies recognize that the additional money doesn't go to profit line. It basically goes to pay for the employment of the people that are working there.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so let's have some discussion on this particular item. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yeah, I have done a little bit of research. I have talked to the city of Solvang with reference to their becoming a charter city. The primary reason that they went to a charter city is because of the savings in the prevailing wage. That was the main reason. They also wanted to be a charter city and be able to run their own city instead of having to do everything dictated by the state. They followed the example of Santa Maria in setting up their charter, and in looking at the three examples that staff has provided us, Santa Maria and Solvang both have very simple, reasonable charters. They're not complicated at all. I don't think it would take much to put one together. We can follow that as a guideline. Which is exactly what Solvang did in creating their charter, followed Santa Maria's charter. I also had a brief conversation with one of the council members in Santa Maria, and they are extremely pleased with the results of having become a charter city. I have talked to a couple of members of the Arroyo Grande City Council. They are definitely interested in becoming a charter city. I think it's a good move. I don't remember exactly what the amount of money is that we spent on local streets over the last two or three years, but I believe it probably would be up in probably $600,000 to $700,000 area. Do you have an estimate off the top of your head, City Manager?
It's considerably more than that.
But does that include the non?
But I do think that's the main reason, and I think that's the primary reason that we should pursue this.
That it? Okay. So, Phyllis?
Sorry for interrupting. Just popped in my head. You mentioned also there are other reasons that the cities are not being dictated by the state. Well, what other things would we not be dictated for other than prevailing wage?
Bidding procedures is another one. Right now, by and large, our bidding procedures are outlined in state law or provided for in state law. Again, you would have the flexibility of developing your own bidding procedures. The rest of those items on that list, essentially the council would, it's really at the council's prerogative as to which ones they choose to, and benefit can generally be measured only by the organization itself. That may not be a direct answer, but it depends, and that's why you're provided to the ability to tailor this to your own needs. You can set city council member qualifications. That's something that hasn't been talked about, but you certainly can do that by charter. You can decide election procedure, which you may choose to do differently than the state does. You can do that as well.
I noticed one of the items here, it says local land use zoning issues.
Yeah.
Yep.
For example, what would that be?
Well, for instance, we follow state law pretty much as that's concerned.
Yeah, in my former lifetime, I dealt with issues like that. State law is very clear for your general law city, the number of times you can actually amend your general plan. They typically say it's 3 times a year. And so if there was a project that came for, let's say, something for People's Kitchen or a homeless shelter, and they were looking at a site that required a different land use or zoning, we wouldn't have to wait for those 3 times. We could actually do an update because we get to set the number of times we can amend our general plan, as opposed to continuing to follow the rigid guidelines of the state. And I can tell you that was one of the motivating factors for the city of Santa Maria they were dealing with.
Look at the first attachment, and that attachment covers different characteristics of municipal government, and it depicts what is required within a general law city, and then it also indicates how a charter city would treat that same issue. I would point to finance and taxing powers have broader assessment powers than a general law city, and as well as taxation power as determined on a case-by-case basis. What that means is a lot of taxes, as the city attorney reference, they're subject to Proposition 218, but what this would do is actually make the formation of assessment districts probably much easier to accomplish, and because you would be following your own rules relative to the imposition of an assessment district rather than the state, at least as indicated here, which again could have long-term financing benefits.
So, for example, we had already talked about changing our business license taxes. Would we have had to then go to an election for that if we wished to change it?
I'd have to take a look at that. I don't have an answer for that at this point, because we'd have to test it versus what the charter city covers versus the state.
City attorney?
And I will follow the city manager's lead. I off the top of my head, I really would hesitate to give you an answer with regard to the business tax certificate or licensing regulations. I will look that up, either distribute a memo to you with an answer to that, or have it for you at the next meeting, as is your wish.
Very good.
All right, thank you.
Councilmember Peterson.
I noticed that when we had included in our staff notes, our notes from staff, some of portions of the other charters from some of the other cities, and they were really quite impassioned. They were a little bit like the U.S. Constitution, you know, we the people believe. And I think that is true, that right now we have been at the wrong end of this, of the receiving end of the state. And I think it is important that we stand up and say, no, we're not taking that anymore. And yes, we think if we're not going to have a lot of return on it, just because things are tight right now. However, I think as a matter of principle, it's worth moving forward, although it's a little bit scary to do that with no guaranteed return right now. I did want to ask staff one question. One of the members of the public stated that by moving forward with a charter, there would be longstanding laws thrown out. Could you just comment on whether or not we would be throwing out longstanding laws by moving to being a charter city as opposed to this general law city?
Well, as identified by the city manager, as a charter city, you have the ability, not the mandate, to set your own laws that govern the municipal affairs, anything that is of local issue or concern. That doesn't mean you have to change laws on every issue. If you notice in a number of the charters that have been adopted by our neighboring cities, a lot of the references bring back the state law, and basically certain things like taxing and other issues over which a charter city may have powers are adopted basically by reference through this with regard to the state law. So it is your option as you draft your charter as to how many of the state laws that are applicable to local municipal affairs you wish to adopt or you wish to change. So that's the best way I can characterize what a charter city option gives you, what choices.
The question I'm asking is, it doesn't automatically wipe out everything that's gone before. We don't start with a clean slate and with no laws. Everything we've had to date is still there. We just have the option of doing some things differently. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. That's all I had to say.
Very good.
Yes, please.
Councilmember Bright.
And when we say we're talking about the voters of Grover Beach. This is going to go before public scrutiny, so it's not just going to be five people here deciding what's going to happen. It's going to be everybody. My concern is, I don't see a problem with the charter city. I think it could be a great benefit to us. My concern, of course, is the expense. So that's why I keep equating it back to prevailing wage. If I can justify that we can actually save that money, then I don't have a problem spending it, because I think that it's a move towards our future. When we say that we don't have the potential savings or actual savings in the near future, then I absolutely will support it.
Okay. So let me cross off the last thing on my list to say, since you just said it all. So thanks for stealing my thunder.
Sorry.
Let me just weigh in here. And I think there's been a lot of great comments on both sides of this issue. We keep talking about how do we create a sustainable community, and that isn't just environmental, that's fiscal. Mm-hmm. And Debbie, you hit the nail right on the head where we're talking about state unfunded mandates, state takeaways, and so how do we preserve local control and maintain some independence for the fine folks who live in this community? And then creating that separation between the state. And I do want to go back to the prevailing wage issue, because, I mean, all the other issues are very important, but I do want to give everyone some concrete examples of, I don't think the payoff is that far out. Let me start with the municipal network project. The council majority was very clear to staff that this project is an economic development project that we have been talking about for years around here, and moving forward with phase one takes us beyond just receiving franchise fees, but potentially creating a western gateway into the internet. And doing phase one, the potential funding comes from general fund dollars, and possibly, if you're using general fund dollars, to go out and get a loan to create phase one. And if you're talking about, let's say, even if you're talking about $1 million investment at 30%, or even at 20%, you're basically talking about $200,000 cost reduction in being able to go out and hire someone to install this infrastructure. So you would have more money to go into the project to pay those workers. And that's something that the direction of staff was to put that in this year's budget, with the idea that implementation would start within the next 12 months. So, Karen, you're right on the money when we talk about setting a foundation and building blocks. Let me give you another example. Beachfront Lodge, Conference Center, public improvements. And I know that this item got continued tonight, and it'll come back to this council for discussion and deliberation. But what has been asked of the council is to consider public improvements associated with this Catalyst project. And I know that the number that had been talked about was between $5 and $7 million. So let's say 240, which is what we had been doing with the exception of last year, and went out, and let's say you were able to come up with a $5 million, whether it's a loan or a bond issue, and secure it with those dollars, you're talking about a 20% savings and then getting someone working sooner rather than later. So I think those are great examples of short-term and long-term. And so when I look at this discussion about charter cities, I think given the situation we're in, given the loss of redevelopment, given the state's continued state legislature, and I won't say the state because there's no big state, the state legislature's continued disrespect for local governments and the all-out attack by this current governor, we do need to consider all options. And I think this is a great place to start. And ultimately, it's got to be approved by the voters of this community. So I think we've had quite a bit of discussion. Is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I move that we instruct staff to move forward with preparation of a charter city. What's the word I'm looking for? A charter city. Sorry, I'm looking for staff's.
So basically, changing the city's former government from general law to charter city.
That's it.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay, and then I guess we can get to the discussion of dates and some of the other things. This is basically just giving staff the direction and go ahead and letting the community know that this is something that the council is considering. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Okay, so then let's talk about the details on this. Staff said there are two ways in which to craft the charter for the voters' consideration, one of which would be to form a 15-member committee or to have that done through, I guess, the council process. So
the first method will not meet if your goal is to have this issue before before the voters in November, and then the second method is the only one that's an option for the council.
Okay, everyone's okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then let's talk about dates, because staff has got a couple of options on the wall. So let's talk a little bit more about the one that is furthest, where you've got the numbers 1, 2, and 3. You're saying that it requires two special meetings on those on May 14th and then one on June.
Drove my suggestions relative to the calendar, and in an effort to ensure in both cases that we made the July 25th date that is required to the submit things to the county board. So it's really a function of how much time do we have and how do we meet that complicated time frame. So essentially what you need to do tonight is give us direction as to what those first two public hearings should be, and given the fact that you need to have a 21-day notice period up front and 30 days minimum between the first and the second public hearing.
Okay. So, and I know everyone wants to be present during these meetings, so we do want to try and accommodate that. So the second side, you were talking about the regular meeting of May 21st.
Yeah, yes, that's correct.
And Phyllis, is that the meeting?
No,
that
I'm gone the 20th of June to the 25th of June.
And I'm gone the May 21st. Same thing, long standing.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
No, it's fine. Yeah. So, Bob, regular meetings are scheduled for May 7th and May 21st.
That's correct.
And I guess May 21st, we just continued the lodge to that meeting.
Right.
I guess I was just wondering if we go with the 14th, we would still have a regular meeting on the 7th and then a special meeting on the 14th. So the council certainly has prerogative to cancel the meeting on the 7th and hold the 14th. Are there any legal implications with that, city attorney?
No legal implications. You certainly can choose to cancel the meeting of the 15th and simply conduct business on the special meeting on the 14th, cancel the meeting of the 7th, rather. I don't know if there are any hearings or... Well, there's a public hearing currently being scheduled for the weed abatement program for May 7th. And I don't know if it makes any difference if okay. that public hearing takes place on the 14th. It hasn't been posted yet, noticed yet.
Okay. Because I'm thinking the other thing...
If I may, and I apologize yes. for interrupting, Mayor and Council members, the appeal of the Planning Commission issue with regard to the cellular tower was continued by Council's action to May 7th meeting.
Okay.
So if it is your wish to change that, the staff would simply have to re-notice. Go through a noticing process, which can be done. There is a certain level of expense associated with it, but we would re-notice it for cancel the 7th and re-notice it for the 14th or another okay. convenient date for the applicant.
Yeah, I was just trying to be sensitive to demands on staff's time because I know that if we're talking about a meeting on May 7th and May 14th, and not just the noticing, but actually preparation of staff reports. And so I think that was kind of the thought process. But I will ask the city manager, June 19th, is the 18th, does the 18th, would the 18th work? Because that's a regular meeting date.
Again, if there are 30 days between the two.
Mm-hmm. It appears that
there would be.
Yeah. So maybe we should look at... May 14th and then June 18th and July 16th.
Mayor, if I may, one more retraction from a discussion prior. Uh-huh. I've been corrected by the city clerk.
we all have at one point or another.
Absolutely. the charter actually does become effective upon filing with the Secretary of State. So after certification of the voting results, staff would proceed to file it, and upon the actual filing is when the charter becomes effective, so a day or two later.
So everyone okay with giving staff direction to proceed with, let's say, May 14th, June 18th, and July 16th?
Yeah, I'm okay.
We have consensus? Okay. Then I think we're good on that.
That's a regular meeting.
So I think that concludes our discussion on item number 8. And with that, let's take a 10-minute break. We'll reconvene at 8:30.
I'm misunderstood. I thought we were supposed to be here for the 14th and then the 21st and the 19th and the 20th. I'm thinking, okay.
I'm going to reconvene the regular meeting for the Governor Beach City Council on Monday, April 16, 2012. And when we last left off, we had just concluded discussion on item 8, so we are going to move into item 9, which is the City Council goal setting for development of the fiscal year 13 budget. City Manager Peralt.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, the item you have before you is a discussion regarding goal setting. This is something that the Council actually did in June of 2010 and did again as we updated the budget last year. This year, because of our economic circumstances, we're recommending that we take 1 year at a time. Consequently, this is the appropriate time for the Council to identify organizational goals. Staff will use these organizational goals in terms of development of the preliminary budget, which will be presented next month. By way of overview, in listening to the Council in recent months, there are three items that I've seen that the council has clearly identified as potential goals. These include the completion of the entitlement process for the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center, including the Coastal Commission, implementation of the Grover Beach Municipal Network, and completion of key projects. And by that, I mean the West Grand Avenue project as well as the Depot project. Additionally, staff has developed a list of goals the council may want to consider, and I want to point out that the materials contained in your packet are simply materials to assist you in your discussion. And these include the staff suggested goals, which are to refocus economic development efforts based on available resources, identify one or two defined project areas, successfully transition to a consolidator, continue to support efforts to move the Grover Beach Lodge forward that we've already talked about, and prepare the city to compete for community development block grant funds. This is going to be a large grant source that will provide funding for economic development and housing programs in the future. Essentially, that's staff's suggested goals. Also included in your packet, the status report that included the goals that were approved in 2010, as well as the progress that we had made through the end of February. Also attached at the dais is a list, which we can also place up on the overhead if the council desires, is a list of the goals and work tasks as simply approved in 2010. So, the role of staff in this discussion is simply to assist the council in facilitation of that discussion, and the council may wish to approach this and either identify goals for next year tonight, or you may want to have a discussion and then continue the matter to a later date, depending on how you want to approach it. Anyway, that concludes staff's report, and we're available to answer any questions. Other than that, it's the council's discussion.
Very good. Thank you, Bob. Any questions of staff? Councilmember Mona.
Okay. Going back to the housing project at 10th Street and Farrell, what's happening with that? It's been a very long time in the coming. Is there any kind of expiration date we have with them?
There is no expiration date, as I recall, in the contract. We are still awaiting the submittal of the application. Is that correct, Community Development Director?
So you can't just say...
He has signified in the affirmative. So, sorry, go ahead.
Okay, because, I mean, this has been going on for quite a long time. Isn't there some way to say, you know, let's move forward or somebody else can step up to the project? I mean,
certainly there is that direction that the council may wish to provide.
I mean, there's obviously feet dragging for a reason. Okay. Then, of course, we are going to be talking about the lodge later, so I won't discuss that, my concerns with that. I did want to bring up, since we're talking about the budget.
Endorsed the direction was to reduce water and maintenance in the parks. That decision was made at the council meeting, which I discussed the mid-year budget. The recommendations were made by both Parks and Recreation staff and the Director of Public Works, and then I made the final decision.
Okay, well, I agreed with the basin. I was a little concerned about the street sweeping. For the street sweeping, is that just a temporary for this three-month period to see how it works?
It is all just
or
temporary,
just
and all of those
a temporary budget fix.
Will be reviewed as a part of the budget discussion next month.
All right, thank you. Because I just kind of get concerned about some things that I think decisions are made without some of us knowing. Okay, all right, thank you.
Any questions on the goals? No?
Well,
okay.
I have a comment, I guess. I don't know. Our streets, as we all know,
are in a great deal of trouble. How we're going to fix it, that's a whole other issue. But I really think we really need to concentrate on that. I mean, as I have driven down the streets these last 2 weeks, with this storm, oh, my word, it's a really very disappointing and to me, because I don't want us to be this town that, you know, oh, the town with the bad streets. And so I really would like to see if we could somehow move forward with at least a discussion about how we might really take care of our streets. I mean, it's going to cost money. We all know that. Well, maybe not all of us, but I know that. And I think many people who have been involved in the process know that. But the longer we wait, the more expensive it's going to be. And I just think that it's a discussion that we really need to have. So that, and I'm not sure how that relates to the goals and work program here, because I'm not sure how we would get to that point. But that's my one major concern right now.
Okay. So let's back up, and maybe I can try and add some structure to our discussion, since this is a business item. I have a couple of options. We can decide to say these goals are still important to us and it should be the top priority. And so 1A, economic development, does that continue to be a goal that we want to strive for? And with the understanding that there's a bunch of different parts underneath it and we have to figure out how to achieve it, but we wouldn't do that over 1 year per se. And then you can see where it says 1B streets, mm-hmm. you know, so does that continue to be a high priority?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when you move down to utilities and infrastructure, so I think we have to first decide, are these goals as stated something that the council would like to continue with? And if so, is the order presented here good, or do we want to change items around? And those are just broad overarching goals that are going to get some framework. But then I think we need to move to a discussion of what are the top five projects or tasks, because operating on limited resources, meaning staff time and money, what are the top five things that we want to have accomplished in the next fiscal year? And I think Bob had talked about the beachfront lodge and the conference center and getting that through the entitlement process, including Coastal Commission. So that takes a huge amount of staff resources. And so then if another priority is the streets, as Karen, you're pointing out, meaning let's have another discussion about what's a long-term funding strategy and how do we find a way to fund more than what we've historically been doing. Is I think we've been averaging what, between 400 and 600,000 a year. So we need to have an honest and frank conversation, because I know several years ago when the council discussed streets and we had identified it was about $40 million to do the streets, and we were considering whether it was a bond or other option, people came up to the podium and said, the streets are fine, don't do anything, and now's not a good time to be asking the residents to pay more money. But I think it's a discussion we need to have. But, you know, I want to make sure that whatever's going forward is basically the council majority's decision on what the priorities should be in the community. So I think the first question that...
Which is the design, complete the design of the municipal broadband network. And the third one, begin construction phase one of the Grover Beach Technology Master Plan. I personally think those three items ought to remain where they're at. Looking at this from the long-range plan, what is going to be accomplished once we get those things completed and where we will be at that time. I agree that the streets are a large, significant problem. But as the mayor just mentioned, we did talk about a bond issue that would get them done, and about the same time the economy took a tank. and that was not the right time to start talking to the residents about a bond issue that was going to cost them money. So it's really a difficult situation with the streets, but I think eventually a bond issue is going to be what's going to have to be done in order to get the streets up to par. But I don't think now is the time to do it. I think we ought to concentrate on some of the economic development we're doing, which will in the long run bring additional funds into the city, which will give us a better leverage to proceed with some of the major items, such as doing the street rehabilitation.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I'd like to make a comment. A lot of this looks like a lot of this is done. I mean,
exactly.
Like the water rate adjustments, I mean, these things are done.
So then they
should be just looking at those things on here that haven't. Didn't we already have a comprehensive marketing program? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. That's done, right?
Right.
Okay. So we cross that one off. And the technology upgrades, the website was redesigned. That's all done, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you take that off,
okay.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then, of course, the storm drain project is not completed, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know about identifying properties for public parking. So the first three I see you have still left. I have a little problem asking the people in our community to accept the fact that we have to come up with millions of dollars for the Grover Beach Lodge, and at the same time we're not going to fix our streets. I think we need to find a happy medium, because you got to give them some. I mean, and I'm not just talking about fixing Grand Avenue and Oak Park. I'm talking about fixing Saratoga, too, so people are not believing anymore. We've already raised the water rates, right? You know, we have online registration for the park. So a lot of this we've done. So I think we need to think seriously about dividing our money between, you know, what people will gain confidence in the city about again and future goals.
Thank you for those comments. But let's be clear. Some of us were up here when that sales tax measure went out to the community, and there were no such promises made. It was a general sales tax, and I will say that I had suggested that we commit to use half of that for the streets, and we have done that, mm-hmm. with the exception of last year, every year. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly why when we keep having this discussion about, and I'm just going to say it because, you know, when we keep having this discussion about the community garden, about property that was bought with city reserves, and we keep, certain people are asking us to maintain that and subsidize it and not find a way to close the gap but fix streets. You know, that's obviously why we're up here, to try and find the best balance. There's no perfect solutions, but the two, they all go hand in hand. So
I didn't bring up the community garden.
Well, I know you didn't. I'm bringing it up. You've talked a lot about it. I brought it up. So.
Okay.
But, I mean, we respect your comments, and I agree. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's not an easy job to do. We're all in the same boat. We agree. So, yeah, I mean, those are great comments, and I think you're exactly right, Phyllis. We need to be crossing off what's approved on this list. If we like the overarching goal, we keep it, and then we get rid of what hasn't, what's been accomplished, and then we either decide to cut things out or not to add things. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to do tonight.
Okay. And I didn't see anywhere in here, I guess, zoning issues, not in other zoning issues, about areas of the city that, if we looked at their proper zoning, perhaps we might be able to increase our property tax revenue by having people develop properties. There are some parts of the city that I think are improperly zoned, and that should be looked at in terms of revenue generating.
Okay.
That's a suggestion.
And maybe, Steph, where are we at with
Grand Avenue Master Plan and kind of streamlining in general? So right now we're hoping to get to the commission and council by June. So the The goal here, though, I want to stress, is that that's not a comprehensive update of the zoning code. The next portions after that were kind of listed in the goals. I mean, we need to update the sign ordinance, plan unit developments. I could go on and on. So the goal really is, you know, continue, but to finish the process that we're in right now and then get direction from the council to finish out the other sections of the zoning code.
Could I ask another question?
Okay, yeah.
When does the mixed use one come before us?
That's all part of
the
current effort, because that is to bring it in conformance with the general plan.
Okay. I think that one's really important for the whole business and economic development one. Thank you.
So, Phyllis, do you have anything else? Were there specific properties you were thinking of?
Well, actually, I'm thinking of Ramona on the stretch between where it's office professional. I really think if you look at that, that has become a very, let's say, degraded neighborhood, because nobody can sell those properties, because at this time, who is going to put in office professional when we have so much commercial already available on Grand? I think that area needs to be looked at seriously. There's all houses on there anyway now that should be probably put back to like R3 or some kind of work-live situation.
Okay.
That way, someone might be willing to buy. You know, that one property was for sale for an awfully long time and nobody wanted to pick it up because what are you going to do with it? But if you make it so that it's, people would be willing to invest in it, as long as they know if they at least could do something residential in one portion and business in the other, or like I said, work, live, they could develop it, and that would bring in property tax, right, which is a good part of our revenue. And then you have people who are willing to work and live in the area and then to spend their money. So I think we cannot ignore, where I was talking about the economic, the commercial area, we cannot ignore the possibility that we need to look at our residential border areas to our commercial and not limit them. I mean, I know that zoning was changed a long time ago, but even in the days when everything was economically in really good shape, did anybody go in there and put anything office professional in there? No, they did not. So why are they going to do it now? So I...
Each one individually and everyone, is everyone okay with doing that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Let's be structured.
Okay. So, goal 1A, economic development, and that's on the screen. Does everyone like the way that goal is worded, and do we believe it should remain goal number one?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Okay. Then we have consensus on that. And we should skip the bullets for now.
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's just get the goals
okay.
down.
Streets. And I think before we had talked about economic development and streets being equal, we see the way that one is worded. It's short, so I can read this one. Develop a continuous network of streets and sidewalks that provide for safe and efficient movement of automobiles, pedestrians, and cyclists.
I think that has to be one of our number one goals. I mean, it may be an expensive goal, but it's something that still has to stay there in the forefront because it's something that has to be addressed.
Okay.
I think.
Everyone, we have consensus?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we had number two, which was utilities and infrastructure. And this reads, develop a modern utility infrastructure system that anticipates future demands for water distribution, wastewater collection, stormwater collection, and drainage. So it's pretty all-encompassing.
We've actually completed almost all of those, it looks like. So I wonder if that's something we could move further down.
Okay, so then let's hold that thought. So then let's move to number three, which is public safety, and this is the police and fire, police department and fire joint powers authority. And this goal is to maintain a safe community by providing well-trained and equipped public safety, emergency medical services personnel, meaning police and fire. And I would think that's a laudable goal in mm-hmm. any
Absolutely.
Community.
I mean, it has to be one of your highest goals is your public safety.
Okay. So Debbie had brought up the question regarding number two, looking like a majority of those have been accomplished. Does it make sense to move public safety up in the order?
That's an idea, I think. That's plausible.
Yeah, especially since we've been talking about consolidation and stuff. So
when we look at finance, I think that really needs to be, maybe we could move that a little higher on the goal list. To increase city revenues to pay for current and future services, I think is immensely important.
Okay. Everyone agree with that?
Yeah, some of these bullets we've done, but...
So long as we don't move it too far down, because I think our sign ordinance is really important to economic development, and I think we need to consider parking also. So, and as the community development director said, there's a lot that's still coming down the pike on that. He's mm-hmm. just scratched the surface. So
move it to three, maybe.
Well,
put finance at three and community development at four.
I'm okay with that for now because finance is critical to all of this. Leave it at four.
Okay, so hold on. So if we got economic development at one, is streets, we're going to keep that one B or just call streets two? Let me simplify this.
Oh, I'm changing streets to two.
I like 1B because it keeps it high in our minds.
Absolutely. I think so, too.
Either 1B or as a subsection of, you know, or as one of the priorities of economic development.
I'd say let's keep it as 1B because mm-hmm. under that section you're talking about pedestrian connections and sidewalks and, mm-hmm. and bicycles.
So. Yeah.
Okay, so 1A, 1B, and then 2
is safety.
Public safety. So the question then is utilities number 3 or is finance?
No, move it down.
Three.
Well, you did the underground and you did the...
You've done it all.
So finance becomes 3?
Well, I think it is at this point in time. It really has become a major priority.
No, absolutely. Okay.
So I'd say yeah.
And then utilities becomes number 4?
No, because we've done all of utilities.
We're working on the land use element. You should leave that as 4 and make utilities 5.
But think of it. Think of these a little higher because the tasks have been done. But if we're talking infrastructure, upgrading water systems and things of that nature, we don't want to move it too far down.
No, I agree.
Okay. Well, we've got 9.
So finance, a laudable goal, provide for a variety of opportunities to meet citizen needs, including low and moderate income and senior housing units.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay keeping that as a goal?
Absolutely as a goal.
And then at that particular location? Wow.
I don't know. Maybe we should look at the others and just kind of see where we are. I think housing, though, does need to be a high priority. I mean, obviously. Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think
the rest of them are okay where they're at, personally. Unless you want to move parks and recreation up.
I'd like to.
Remember, we only have so much resources to go around.
We only have so many spots.
So Bob, I'm wondering on the transportation, the train station expansion, looks like we've accomplished with the exception of the first one, but I think that's, which is the design for phase 3. I think that certainly has become a lower mm-hmm. priority.
Absolutely.
But the train station expansion, this really only talked about the environmental document and design. Do you think that's far enough along that if it was not unlisted, it would be completed? Or any thoughts?
Well, obviously we have a way to go. We're in the process of completing the engineering for this project. We still have about $1 million, I think, in terms of grant funds to be able to move this project forward. It is a priority, and it had staff had noted it on its list. In fact, it was noted under community development there because that's the department that has taken much of the lead. I would suggest you leave it on the for the coming year.
So the Mayor Pro Tem had said he felt that once we move a few things around, the others would remain in their current order, which is housing.
Yeah, I think that looks good.
And then transportation would be number 7, then public administration as 8, and parks 9.
I think that works for me.
How about everyone else?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Can I ask a question under housing? Which is partner with
to the redevelopment agency and have the agency be a partner in those projects. Well, the agency has gone away, so this may very well remain a priority, but what you're going to have to do is look for a different source of funding. Essentially, that's where your community development block grant and changing the emphasis of this project to go out and seek grant fundings for a particular project might be the way you might want to approach it.
Along with the redevelopment agency being abolished, the low and moderate income funding has also gone away.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we have agreement on the order this year.
So
I want to go back up to the top, and let's just quickly go through these bullets. And I know Phyllis has started talking about this. So the completing the city entitlement process for the Lodge Conference Center, everyone okay with that?
Yes.
Remaining, that looks like the one that is not completed. The design of the municipal broadband network is complete.
Mm-hmm.
Then construction of phase 1, I think we had talked about that before. Everyone okay if that remains?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Mayor, just a statement on that first bullet. It'll be important to recognize that, just want to recognize that the entitlement process should be completed here by the end of this fiscal year. So we'd be focusing primarily on the Coastal Commission process.
So then maybe just add wording that says including Coastal Commission process. I think that was one of your suggested ones, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Okay. Instead of initiate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then as far as the marketing program and the upgrades, those have been completed.
You know, I think we've completed a marketing program, but that marketing program has to be ongoing, particularly with regard to the municipal broadband network. If we don't have an ongoing marketing program, we won't have a network.
We have that come up later in the agenda. Would we be addressing that issue when we get to number 10 anyway?
Well, if it's number 10,
meant agenda item number 10. When we talk about an economic development assistance team, isn't that kind of, we go along with the same type
of thing?
But
these are our goals.
No, we won't talk about it on 10. I think 10 is really trying to come up with a quick strike team that could deal with projects like we had heard.
We want our technology idea to go anywhere. It's going to have some kind of a plan behind it.
And just by way of note, Mr. Mayor, if I could, we are going to have to find a way to do marketing differently given our current resources. Just want to note that redevelopment agency paid for part marketing program and development of it in the past, and once again, those funds are no longer available to us.
Okay. So it sounds like there was a suggestion that instead of deleting the marketing to just say maintain a comprehensive marketing program. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. So then the city technology upgrades has been accomplished, so we can strike that. Nice job, staff, on that. So we had inserted a goal in here before, and I had missed this the first time, and it talked about redeveloping the Grand Avenue Corridor by supporting existing businesses and facilitating development of vacant and underutilized lots.
Yeah.
So is maybe something that's more appropriate is...
The storm drain project be part of the infrastructure? You know, I mean, kind of doesn't belong there.
Yeah, good point.
And then the potential properties for public parking, I don't think we have the money for that right at this time. Could that be part of community development?
Well, let's see. So I agree with let's move the storm drain. What I was thinking, though on this, we had put this as a goal. I'm really thinking that, and the quick strike, I think you're right, item 10 probably would address something that, for me, the question becomes, we've been talking about trying to be being business friendly, and with this economy struggling, and now that as when the economy starts to improve, do the council policies, do the building standards and regulations allow us to be business friendly? For example, I did notice that Backdoor Deli is had to close its doors for obviously.
Is what we're doing strengthening the city's economic base? Are we promoting the city for business and tourism? Are we working cooperatively with organizations and business owners to retain existing jobs? And are we creating employment opportunities and implementing our strategy? You know, ask that for everything as you're doing with that. And I think a lot of times we go, oh, my gosh, no, we're really not. We're doing just the opposite. So it's a really important question. If that's really our goal, is that what we're doing?
Mr. Mayor, I could offer, again, in terms of obviously you are making progress in that particular area, especially when it comes to the zoning code update. That won't deal with all of those issues, but it will begin to deal with some of them. And as the community development director indicated, it's going to be an ongoing process. So there are lots of things that you encounter that should be changed, and it's getting it into that process and bringing it back and through the system in an orderly and expedited fashion. I would suggest that that kind of language still should remain under your community development area as a goal, as a task.
Under community
say.
Development or under right. economic development?
Could fit either way, but it should be a task.
Okay, so we'll just reword it as a task.
There you go. Okay.
Okay, and I think the process is that we're going to give some guidance, and staff will come back with a refined goals and work program for our endorsement prior to budget development. Okay. So I would agree with Phyllis on the moving the storm drain project to under infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And there was a question regarding identifying potential properties for public parking. And I know Mayor Pro Tem, you had brought this up. So it's probably, given limited resources, probably a low priority. Do we keep it here or maybe it's time to strike it from the list?
It's probably very important. I agree we don't have the resources to consider that right now. I don't think it's something we ought to forget about if we really start developing businesses in the Grand Avenue corridor. If we don't have parking, that's going to kill it. So it's the sort of thing that we can't forget. We need to consider. We need to keep
to a limited extent. We did identify some parcels with under the redevelopment agency at the time that we were looking at possibly combining some of those parcels.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The problem that we have again is with the agency gone away, it's limited our ability to financially support some of this.
Then maybe this is something that needs to be put aside for at least this year. And when we have a need or we foresee a need, we do have a basic list or inventory maybe already, do we? Is that what you're saying?
In the West Grand Avenue area between 4th and yes.
Okay.
And
then I agree, then maybe we say this is complete. You've identified it, and maybe just a brief report would be good. At least we would know what those are.
Yeah.
So we can, okay. So streets.
Oh, boy.
To continue funding street rehabilitation and construction at 400 to 600 annually. So staff. How are we looking at, looking on with resources on that?
Ultimately, we will get into actual dollar amounts when we discuss the budget itself.
Okay.
Realistically, at this point, in the general fund at least, we had been contemplating a funding level in the neighborhood of $200,000. Now, I know that doesn't come anywhere close to approaching the 4 to 6, but given the other parameters that we're dealing with, and all of it is subject to the council's direction, that's a preliminary estimate of where we're at.
Could we say, and finding matching funds grant funding to bring it to 400 to 600 annually?
Well, I'm just wondering, maybe it's better if we just delete that one and then change the second to say adopt a funding strategy for rehabilitation of streets, and that could include short-term and long-term, and then we can get into the details, because I think the city manager was partially correct. I know that they're obviously, my crystal ball says that given the financial state, that there may be a recommendation that it be less money coming from the general fund, but there is still sales tax on gasoline, which is going up, so there will be a larger pot, I think, than we anticipate for streets. And I believe at the last SLOCOG board meeting, I believe the number I saw was anywhere between 300 and 400,000.
Good.
For us?
For Grover Beach.
Yeah.
So, just be on the main streets.
Well, if that also has to cover our contribution to the transit system too.
I think a small portion of that. So, but what I'm saying, okay, is that for our purposes tonight, to basically,
sure,
say we're going to develop a funding strategy.
Yes.
For the rehabilitation of our streets. So we'll talk about what we can do in the short term. And then we will have a discussion again, because it's time to have that discussion.
I think it is. I mean, people need to, it needs to be reinforced, because people need to know what it's going to take in order to get these streets done. And $200,000 and $400,000, $600,000 a year is not going to do it. We know that.
No, absolutely.
But a lot of people don't understand that. They think, you know, if you threw another $200,000 at it, our streets would be in top shape, or even in good shape, but that's, unfortunately, is not the case.
Yeah.
So we need to be realistic.
I'm sure as the city clerk and others will attest, I've been going through my home office lately, and I just happen to donate or bring back some binders, but I actually have a PowerPoint here that says short-term local street rehabilitation program and development of a long-term strategy, and this is for the city of Grover Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And how old is that?
It was last year.
Last year.
I think.
I believe it was.
Mr. Buckingham prepared it for us.
Well, I think it was.
Actually.
Was it Mr. Ray?
Mr. Ray, excuse me. I'm looking at Mr. Ray.
Well,
Mr.
so Mr. Ray's been here about 2 years, so we know it's less than 2 years.
Sorry.
It's less than 3 years old, so. So.
Okay, so
let's have that discussion again.
I think we should then just go with adopt a funding strategy for rehabilitation of streets.
Okay.
And that will include short and long term.
Got it.
Finish Long Branch here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Long Branch is done.
We did Long Branch.
So that segment of Long Branch is done. And I'm not gonna talk about the rest, huh? Well, I think that's something, that's a good thing, is when we have this discussion, we'll have to have that discussion about Long Branch, because the phase one of Long Branch was done from, was it 10th to about 13th Street?
Right.
Right. So, but we will have that subsequent discussion. Absolutely.
So we did the South 4th Street.
South 4th is done, correct?
That's correct.
The bike lanes, I guess staff is applying for funding to do, well, maybe not
but
these.
We've done some.
Not these class two. That wasn't in that $80,000 grant.
So.
And I should point out that what we have attempted to do is whenever we've done a major street project like Atlantic City, we also put in bike lanes.
The striping at the time.
At that time.
Is cheaper.
Okay. So we can cross off South 4th Street. And then how do you guys want to treat the installing the class two bike lanes on Arterial and Collector Streets? I guess we are moving.
We want
that
to keep that
ongoing.
In there, yeah.
Okay. And then the next one was the extending South 13th Street sidewalk from Manhattan to Trouville. Any status report on that?
Community Development Block Grant is funding this work. We expect to have it out to bid probably next month. We're hoping to have the project completed or at least under construction by the end of the fiscal year. We are doing the plan for the entire stretch, the what actually gets done will depend on what the bid results are.
Okay, so that'll be coming to us shortly. So that could, in effect, be done. So
eliminate that.
With the understanding we've made significant progress, and it'll be done at the end of the fiscal year or the start of the new fiscal year.
And are you putting in shadow conduit when you do that? Is it deep enough to do that?
I hadn't even thought about that, and I don't think we did think about that in terms of 13th Street.
Mm-hmm. So then the next bullet talks about design and install a continuous sidewalk along South 13th Street from West Grand to Atlantic City. So, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great idea, but I don't know that it's really viable for this year. I mean, we're talking about 1 year. Do you think?
Well, I guess, yeah, I agree. I think
not
we really.
Year.
Yeah, it's not going to, obviously, it's not going to happen this year, but my only hesitancy is, and maybe it's not even hesitance, I know that one of the suggested goals from the city manager was to develop a community development block grant funding project. And I don't know if this section of 13th
It depends on whether it is, you know, meets one of our blocks that has a higher degree of economic need. And I don't recall whether this particular stretch does or not.
Okay. So I guess given, I mean, there's potential, but I would agree. I think it's a nice idea, but yeah.
Then we'll do all that when we do the streets. That's my dream.
I just want to. I was going to say. I just want to be able to walk on 13th Street on the sidewalk and be safe.
Yeah.
So why are you being quiet? Why are you being quiet down there, then?
Because I was thinking. Yeah,
she likes a challenge. She likes to walk where it's not safe.
I walk in the middle of the street.
She walks on the wild side.
It'd be nice to have a sidewalk on one side.
Yeah, it would. Okay, so
we're
not just going
to walk that street.
Oh.
They go from their homes down to shop or to all kinds of things. So why couldn't you say that was part of economic development?
Well,
so people could get to the stores.
Safety. Public safety.
So what are we going to do with that item?
Why don't we leave it, call it a low priority in this particular location, and that way we can maintain, I mean, if in fact there's some research, and I think we're going to really have to drill down on these tasks. And maybe that's what we'll do at the next meeting to really say, okay, these are all great, but what's really doable given our constraints? But I think it's something because, you know, I rode my bike down there and I walk up and down 13th Street and
well, you got to be able to get to Paisano's without getting run over.
Got to be able to get back with your pizza. Huh?
Yeah.
<Back home. laughs> So we'll leave it and we'll, for now, call it keep it where it is. And then. So public safety. First bullet was to maintain current staffing levels and police department in order to ensure a sense of safe community.
Yes.
City manager, were you able to do that this year?
We have, what we did, we have not been able to fill, we lost two positions over the last couple of years, and we have not been able to refill those. And, you know, the budget is still, preliminary budget is still under review. My suggestion would be to maintain it because it still is a goal.
Okay.
And it is something that, that you know, given budget constraints, you should strive to.
Okay.
Well, I mean, particularly when we say to ensure the sense of a safe community, we that has to be a task that we must, we have to. So... I think we need to have that there. Maybe we don't say current, just staffing levels, because it's not current at this time.
Just maintain what we have.
Just so that we can ensure the sense of a safe community. That's really what we're after.
Okay. We ever the consensus on that?
Yeah.
So then the next bullet was the discussion about transitioning from, I think this dealt with the... Joint Powers Authority with fire and Bob, we've accomplished that.
That's been accomplished.
Okay.
And then I would say adopting a plan to develop a South County public safety training facility was a really good idea, but I don't think that's something that's...
No.
Isn't that that piece of property that man wrote about by the freeway there? That would be a good place, right?
I don't know if you were talking about that, but yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought that was, right?
Because... Eventually, anyway, that would be that
another
would be
year.
Just the
okay.
Whatever, not us. Okay.
And then the fourth bullet talks about researching options for the five cities fire services to assure long-term funding for the JPA. That's being done. So I'm just thinking that maybe we just need to say we'll support their efforts where feasible.
That's good.
Now, are they going to bring that back?
Yes.
And how about adding dispatch? That's been an ongoing conversation, figuring out what we're going to do about dispatch. Aren't we going
to... Want to do that? Okay.
Resolve the dispatch issue?
we're laughing, but that is the essence of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, something to that effect then, right?
Have we said it, and have we actually talked about combining... Our departments here, is that?
Well, the status report on that is that essentially the council gave direction to continue, at least on the staff level, with the Royal Grande in terms of preliminary discussions. Mm-hmm. And what's been, at this point, we've provided a Royal Grande all of the, all they need in terms of base information, in terms of compensation costs, et cetera. What we're waiting for at this particular point before taking the next step is to see what that a single structure, and they're working on it from their end, would cost in terms of consolidating both units and what that would provide. Ultimately, in terms of whether the council decides to move forward with those discussions, will have to depend, I think, on a preliminary review of what those costs are. As I've indicated in the past, if those costs are not sufficient in terms of savings, it may negate the discussion for the time being. And we should know that soon. Before taking it to the next step. So.
Maybe we could just say continue discussions to review consolidation options or something.
How about continue discussion and review of consolidation of dispatch and police departments and or?
Okay. So that we had some really good suggestions. So it's continue to review. discussion and review of
consolidation
of police and or fire dispatch.
Let me ask a question then in regards
sure.
to this.
Mm-hmm.
If the police consolidation falls through, does that mean any talk of dispatch is also going to...
Well, my suggestion would be that the council continue to discuss consolidation wherever it seems viable, and that would leave dispatch as a possible
okay.
alternative.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that being considered right now at all?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
With the department, full department discussion, that certainly is.
Okay.
So, Bob, I hope you're taking good notes. I'm trying over here. But okay, so I think that concludes our discussion under public safety. So let's move. I'm just going to move back up to utilities. And I know this is out of order from the way we've changed them, but let's just to try and move through this expediently. So updated the urban water management plan and water master plan complete.
That's done, right?
Update the master drainage plan, investigate credits for stormwater recharge.
That we still need to do, if I'm not mistaken.
We completed the undergrounding of overhead private...
Yeah, we did,
huh? Park.
...of That's overhead weird. Utility lines along. So that's done. Yay. And the poles are gone. Completing the design of undergrounding of utilities on West Grand Avenue between Highway 1 and the Pacific Ocean.
The preliminary, and that will be brought up under the CIP as well, but the preliminary design has been completed, but not the final design.
Okay, so then we need to get a final design. So we just modify that to final design.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add one? I think it would go under utilities. Could we make it a goal to install shadow conduit whenever we do any kind of public works where it's appropriate and possible?
I think that makes good sense.
So
shadow
make it,
fiber
make
optic
it a,
conduit.
Write it as a task and put it under infrastructure.
Why dig it up again?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there was a suggestion to move the storm drain project design to under utilities and infrastructure.
Because isn't that kind of similar to the master drainage plan anyway? It would have to be in there.
Actually, well, it's separate.
It is separate.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's move over to community development. So I think we have completed the West Grand Avenue Master Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have initiated, and I guess we're almost done with the comprehensive update of the zoning code, correct, Mr. Buckingham? He's shaking his head in the affirmative.
Maybe we should just say complete.
Okay. Perfect.
And then this last one, that's like what you discussed about this particular project that's coming up on Ramona and Oak Park, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's probably something that we should keep.
All right.
Okay, finance.
We did the water rates.
Yeah. Well, it was a busy year and with limited resources. Nice job. Update the cost allocation plan and master fee study, Ms. Chapman. Wow.
Okay, good.
And we do have the online registration for Parks and Recreation mm-hmm. programs, correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
Bob, was there any others that put in this category that you...
You know, what I would think that we need to do, and I'm not sure that there is a task that we need to call out at the present time, but I think the goal is important. And I would suggest that the goal reflect sustainability, the word sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
That's something mm-hmm. that we should strive to be achieving, to achieve is sustainability.
Yeah.
So that would be...
Sustaining core city functions and services.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I had written that down in my notes. Okay. And Bob, you want to develop some language for our consideration at the next meeting? Okay, so let's move down to housing. And the first one was the completing development of the affordable housing project at 10th and Farrell, and I have to say I agree with you, Phyllis. I have strong suspicions and doubts. I know that lending institutions right now actually are not lending on, there's very few out there lending on multiple unit projects or apartments. I think they've been limiting themselves to if the land is owned by someone who's building a home, that's their primary residence. I know it's a very challenging lending environment right now. And Debbie, I think you can speak to this better than I can.
No, you're right. What about the housing trust? You know, they've actually implemented language to have a long-term lending program.
Well, I know, and maybe Bob or Bruce weigh in on this. What was the potential builder's name? I forget. Brad Vernon.
Right.
Had Brad had conversations with the housing trust fund?
I believe he had.
Yes. Okay. So I guess this task doesn't really specify who is doing it, but is that something that the council wants to keep here? And I think obviously the subsequent discussion is, since this project is not moving forward, you know, maybe it is time to say, hey, thanks for the effort, but things aren't moving and we need to move on. City Attorney.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, I think what I recommend is that I review the contractual obligations of both parties under the approved agreement and perhaps give you a report on where we are on those issues.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So then...
Mr. Mayor, if I could...
Yes.
I would also offer to... perhaps develop some language here about the CDBG grant program and actively pursuing it as a potential source of funding for a housing project.
Okay. Mm. So would you just want to make that a subset of the first, or are you just saying let's keep it broad and find a project where it fits?
Right.
Okay. So then I'm just wondering, maybe we can tie the second bullet into the first one, because the only way that the first one's going to happen is really if we partner with mm-hmm. these nonprofits.
Well, next time I go to Housing Trust, I can bring this up to Jerry, and there's other mm-hmm. people there from the county that might have some ideas.
Good idea.
Because he did say to me once, if there was ever any property that Grover had that, you know, was in need of developing for low income, to let him know.
Oh, okay.
Let him know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so looks like we're going to keep these three. Well, I don't know, the implement the first phase, you know, maybe that's just something that it's a pretty broad statement. And if we're doing these things, we are implementing the housing element. So maybe we can strike that eliminate. Third bullet.
Yeah.
And then add the statement the city manager is suggesting.
Okay.
Thanks everyone for your patience. I know it's quite a haul to go through these individually, but it needs to be done. So under transportation, the completing the design for phase three of Ramona specific plan, and I know that was put on hold pending the formation of a subcommittee to do that. But I would say, given the lack of funds, maybe that's just something we'll have to push to another year.
Yep. I think so.
And then I think on the train station expansion, we have a commitment of $1 million, so we do need to move this project forward. Mm-hmm. So, staff, how would you suggest this be worded?
I'm going to suggest that I will rewrite it to reflect current progress and what is anticipated in the next year.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Did anyone have anything they wanted to add under transportation, or are we good with that one item for now?
I think we're good with that at this point in time. I mean, we're talking 1 year, right?
Right.
I think.
Well, actually, Mr. Mayor, I have a question for you. You know, we had talked at the RTA there about perhaps the getting some kind of several times a day small bus or something that would go from Ramona Gardens to the outlets. Wouldn't that be well here under transportation?
That would be. That would be. And so I wonder if we would say work with the South County Area Transit to develop alternative bus route or bus routes that improve service between Ramona Garden Center along North 4th to the outlets or something
Like that. Yeah, because then along 4th you can pick up people
alternative transportation route.
Yeah. I think that's a
like they have the, you know, I mean, there's they have those trolleys, something that's really not smart. Really, because, you know, the trolley is a kind of a nice thing, and it would come into the city and maybe bring people into the city.
It really
from
helps tourism.
The mm-hmm. outlets area. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
So if there's consensus, okay. I think good. That's a really good mm-hmm. idea. And staff, Bob, you got that?
Yes.
You captured that.
Yeah, kay. Good.
So then under public administration, we talked about implementing a two-year budget that preserves basic services.
That.
What's that?
Well, we're going back to a single-year budget now.
So I guess we can strike that.
Yeah.
What I would suggest, we've actually accomplished most of these.
Mm-hmm.
What I would suggest is that, with the council's permission, we focus on the staff suggested language about consolidation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Okay.
Okay.
And what about Charter City? Or is that's this year, isn't it? Or
essentially,
no, because it'll be election in November. So it'll be next year. So maybe we should include that in here.
It'll be important to realize we could include it because it'll extend into the beginning of the new fiscal year. But it's also important to realize that once this item is on the ballot, the city's financial support of that is terminated. In other words, we're not permitted to support ballot measures once they're placed on the ballot. It becomes a campaign issue at that point, and would have our direct involvement may be somewhat limited after that.
Yeah, that's true.
So is it better not to make
City
it
attorney.
A goal then?
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council members, I think that the focus then would be informational only.
Right.
In other words, the city resources could not be spent on advocating for or against any particular proposition or ballot, but city resources could be allocated with your direction for informational campaign, basically factually, what does the charter mean?
Okay.
Or not having a charter, what are the facts, basically?
And okay. So that means
that can be provided.
So that means we can't spend city funds to put a banner up out in the front saying, you know, vote for the charter?
No. That is correct.
No water if you don't do the charter.
Mean.
Okay, so then staff will craft some wording around it because, yeah, it is an appropriate one to have under the. So it looks like we would just have the two then. I think, Bob's, we're going to focus on the consolidation at City Hall. Mayor Pro Tem, I know you had some concerns and a question regarding the parking, if we were going to do that and redirect folks to use this
well,
as the primary entrance.
Yeah, it's just something I don't think we ought to forget. If it's something that you want to, I don't know that it should go under public administration.
Mr. Mayor, just to remind the council that the direction was already provided. We should have that design completed by the end of the fiscal year that will indicate how we're going to deal with the parking lot.
Okay.
And there you go. Okay, so sounds good. So we'll have two bullets under this, and staff will craft language for our consideration. Then finally, we're at parks.
Didn't we do the bicycle master plan already?
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the Cleaver Park master plan done with no resources.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What's the city approved street tree list?
Well,
yeah.
It's an item that we have been working on. As I understand it, the Parks and Rec Commission have completed their review at this point. The tree list, we just need to present it to the council.
Okay.
Okay. And then they'll tell us at the time how they came up with the list. Okay.
Okay. And then there was a discussion about a senior center at Ramona in the Ramona specific plan area.
It's a nice idea.
Just leave it in, I think.
Okay.
I mean, it's something that we want to look to.
That could be a CDBG project.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
That's correct.
I think that's it, correct?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Wow.
Wow.
Next thing.
Wow. Thank you.
Okay. Wow. So staff's got some work to do. And then, so Bob, I know that we've pared down some of these. We've added something. We've kind of went away kind of what the original thinking was, but... do we have time for these to be brought back and just kind of say high priority, low priority, and give you a little more guidance on
what
budget?
I will do is put them into a context in terms of my preliminary budget discussion.
Okay.
It's at that particular point that the council will have the opportunity to provide additional direction before we actually finalize the budget documents. I mean, there could be an approach that we'll take that the council will take a look at, and given financial constraints, make some different decision at that point.
Okay, very good. Okay, let's move on. We have no pooled consent agenda items tonight. Council and committee reports. Does anyone have anything that they need to report? That they are dying to report?
No.
I have a brief.
You have a report? Or can you?
I have just a brief report.
Okay.
I wanted to report on... something I've been working on with the Chamber and the VCB, and that is National Train Day. And we've been working together to do a promotion, and Parks and Rec Director Kathy Petker has also been working with us. We're going to take a free booth down at Union Station in Los Angeles, and Council Member Bride actually initiated this with the Air Pollution Control District, who are trying to get people to go car-free in Grover Beach. Amtrak have just agreed to discount their tickets 20% to people in Grover Beach, coming to Grover Beach, and so we're going to be working. Mm-hmm. We're going to be working with businesses to offer discounts to people who do business or tourists who come to Grover Beach using the train or any other car-free method. So, I think it'll be a nice promotion. There are 11,000 people who show up at Union Station for this. It'll be on May 12th, and as I said, we'll have a free booth, and the Chamber is going to be helping us with it. So we're still in the process of developing it, but if there are businesses out there who'd like to participate, they can go to slowcarfree.com and sign up, and they can also contact the Chamber or contact me or Duke Sterling, who's the Chamber's economic development person, and we'll help you promote your business to tourists throughout the country, the world.
I'm so glad you went forward with that. That is just really marvelous.
It's a really exciting promotion.
So what day of the week is May 12th?
It's a Saturday.
So people on that Saturday, if they're coming here, get discount tickets?
People, any day of the year, if they come to Grover Beach, by any means other than using the train, can go to slowcarfree.com and sign up. I mean, other than car, excuse me, can go to slowcarfree.com and get discounts at local businesses once the local businesses sign up.
Okay.
So we've got to get local businesses to sign up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, but the train, they can get the discount.
They can already get a 20% discount on Amtrak.
Even
to
now?
Come to Grover Beach right now, tonight.
Oh,
go sign up.
Ticket?
Yes.
Oh, my sister comes on the train. So
yeah, your sister can do that.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Anything
that's
really else?
Cool. That's all for now.
Okay. Anything to my right?
Not that I have to tell tonight.
Okay. Yeah, I know the two of my committees are meeting
I have one
later.
Comment.
Okay.
On the Sanitation District and the Water Recycling Symposium, that is now scheduled for June the 7th. It will be at the South County Center. And we will, it will probably last about 2.5 hours. We have a number of speakers that we have lined up that are currently operating plants that do recycling. We have farmers that are using recycled water that will be there to talk about the advantages of it. And we have other experts that will be there that will talk about how it can be implemented, what the cost will be, and so forth.
Very good.
So you mean the South County Regional Center?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe, City Manager, if you could maybe take the action to just kind of, I guess that's probably something you'd put in a your correspondence or just a way to prompt the
We will have flyers coming out for that. We're going to advertise it quite heavily.
Good. Well, that's good to hear. Okay. So we have no city council member items. Any other council communications? Okay, none? You have one?
No, that's okay.
Okay, you sure? All right. City manager, any reports or comments? Looks like we do have an item number 10 on our agenda.
Yes, this is the formation of an economic development assistance team. And basically, Mr. Mayor, you've already just about provided my staff report. I don't know that I need to elaborate much, but in essence, it's in recognition of the fact, again, that the economic development approach had been largely funded by the agency. That is, again, gone away, so we need to find a way to do things differently. The council has discussed that we need to streamline and expedite getting businesses into the community, and essentially it is my recommendation that the council consider forming a team. The team would consist of two members of the council, the city manager and the community development director, and its purpose would be to meet with businesses on a case-by-case basis, either looking to expand or looking to locate to town, and assist those businesses with issues that might be developed, identified as barriers to moving the project forward. Those barriers can include current implementation of city requirements, and it is something that I'm looking to at least get some council participation in that would assist in maybe helping direct these businesses so that we could get them through the process quicker. Again, it would be on a case-by-case basis, and any member of the team could actually bring a project forward or a potential business forward for discussion. Because you're actually talking about the formation of a committee that would have two council members associated with it, it would have to follow the Brown Act provisions in terms of noticing, et cetera. My suggestion is that we go ahead and authorize the council to form the committee and appoint two members to serve on it. It's kind of hard to determine what the initial costs would be. The costs will be primarily staff costs associated with, you know, setting up, providing the necessary information and facilitating the meetings. And it will really depend on how many takers we have in terms of potential interest. So that's essentially my recommendation, and I'm available to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Any questions of staff? No? To my left?
So what kind of a commitment is this? Is this will be during the day, in the evening?
It will likely be during the day, but it could be flexible depending on the party's availability. And the reason I say that, business hours is normally when we interact with developers for the most part.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that limits a few of us, doesn't it?
It does. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. Do we have a team similar to this right now, just on at a staff level?
Well, certainly, you know, staff will pull together, and the only issue with it is that from time to time, it is good to have some council input on a given issue. And I'm not talking about making a decision,
right?
Because obviously, the council two members can't make a decision on behalf of the entire council, but sometimes having the council's perspective is helpful to staff in dealing with an issue or two.
Okay, let's start with the first question. How does everyone feel about forming an economic development assistance team?
I think it's an excellent idea. I, however, would not be able to be a part of it because if it's during the working day, I just can't.
Okay.
So, but I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Someone else does it. Well, I mean, really, that's what it sounds like, but I'm sorry. I just don't have any more vacation time to devote to that, so I just couldn't.
This is great, but you can do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Great idea for somebody else.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
In terms of availability of council members, et cetera, that the city attorney made a good suggestion. You may want to think about extending the team membership to maybe a planning commissioner as well.
Oh.
That might help answer that issue.
That's a really good idea.
Well, yeah, especially if it has to do with, you know, issues having to do with bringing in a new business and going through the hoops. Don't they know more about that? Hopefully.
Well, a couple of our council members have been.
Yeah,
well,
kind of sort of.
Two of our council members have been on the Planning Commission, and one has been a planner. Is a, well, has been.
Is a recovering planner.
Recovering planner. Past life.
So
it depends on the council member.
Okay. So maybe to help move this along, I know we don't really know what the time constraints are. And
do we have any volunteers? Would be my question.
Well, I will volunteer, but I do like the idea of bringing on a planning commissioner. I was about to volunteer you.
Well, I volunteered informally on multiple occasions. My only conflict is that, and I've brought in, you know, I've brought forward businesses on occasions, but my only conflict is that there may be some times where if I want to make a living, I need to act as someone's broker as opposed to provide free city services
as
a council member.
Point taken. So why don't we, if we're going to form the committee, we'll have maybe the mayor sit on it and maybe the chair of the planning commission if that's agreeable. And then we could certainly rotate this.
We could rotate, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'd be happy to rotate. That might be a good idea.
Okay. So get ready.
Would that probably take a formal motion in terms of the formation of the committee?
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we authorize the formation of the economic development team and appoint the mayor and the chair of the planning commission to serve on the team.
With an occasional
and staff conference. It'll be the city manager and community development director.
Okay.
And
then just with direction that this group give frequent updates to the council so that you all know what's being considered. So we'll work that out. Okay. So there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Sorry, I kind of lost track of where I was. If there's no additional discussion, I think we can just do some voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries.
Thanks, John, for stepping up.
You're welcome. Talk to me after the first meeting.
Does this, so can you appoint me to rotate if you're in, if, does that motion allow you to?
So are you moving to volunteer to be an alternate?
Can I be the alternate?
City attorney, is that something that's acceptable?
Certainly, if the council authorizes that.
Well, I wonder if maybe we shouldn't also, thinking of that now that we've already done this, but we are already saying the chair of the Planning Commission.
I was just going to get to that.
And yes. Maybe we should say, or their appointee,
or their appointee.
Something yeah. to that effect.
They might
okay.
say, amend the emotion. So, and as a secondee, I'd be happy to amend that emotion that way if
so,
you are.
So, City Attorney, what is the proper protocol since we did take a vote already?
Can we rescind what we did or change it? Or
I think you can simply, by another motion, make the changes that,
okay.
that
okay.
you
so moved.
Discussed.
So I'm second moved. It.
Yeah, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? That was pretty good. We just started doing that long ago.
I wish we were more agreeable all the time.
So City Attorney, any reports or comments?
I'm sorry.
Any reports
no,
or
I'm
comments?
Sorry, yeah. I was already focused on a closed session. So
I know. And while you have the mic, you want to cover, we are going to recess in the closed session?
Certainly. There's the intent of the council to meet in closed session. One item, that's existing litigation. Lopez versus City of Grover Beach.
Very good. And with that, we are going to recess in a closed session.